Wednesday is the first Wednesday, and we're going to have a men's breakfast, and it will be at the Congregational Church. So, men, tell all your friends, and y'all come. And then on Thursday, the Bible study, 10 o'clock at the Congregational Church and 7 o'clock here. Now, Shirley and I were the only ones there. Yes, last week. So, those of you who forgot about it, please come. Well, I really would like to finish Genesis. I realize there are 50 chapters, and we're going to have a big section to cover. But I would like to start a Bible study on the book of Acts, beginning in September. So, we'll see how that gets going. Yes.
Are you going to stand further down the aisle now so that you can preach to your congregation.
I might have to.
Because they don't seem to want to come to you.
I've told people that I've thought about an invention that actually puts the cues on a conveyor belt so that they automatically bring all of them to the front. But so far, nobody's buying it. Are there any other announcements? Well, then let's begin our worship. We're using setting 3. You have it should be fully printed in your bulletin. At least Denise and I are hoping we've got it all out. Let's stand and turn to the confession. Which if you're using the book, you need page 94, but I think it's in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are in captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Hymn number 714, O God of Mercy, God of Light.
God of mercy, God of love.
love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help save and help for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Precious in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. Vanities of vanities, says the teacher, vanities of vanities. All is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Join me in reading Psalm 49 responsively. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all who dwell in the world.
You are my glory and love, rich and poor together.
My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding.
I will incline my ear to a proverb, and set forth my riddle upon the harp.
Why should I be afraid in evil days when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me?
The wickedness of those who put their trust in their own powers and the boast of their great riches.
One can never redeem another or give to God the ransom for another's life.
For the ransom of a life is so great that there would never be enough to pay for it.
In order to live forever and ever and never see the grave,
for we see that the wise die also, like the dull and stupid, they perish and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they had named lands after themselves.
Even though honored, they cannot live forever. They are like the beasts who perish.
The second reading today is from the 3rd chapter of Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. According to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Praise you, Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I shall store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come. Good morning. I have a question for you. And this might be telling something from home. But do you have a box in your room of junk? No? Yeah. Of things that are of maybe broken toys or anything like that? You don't have anything like that? Well, okay. Mom and Dad, don't listen. Do you have a drawer at home in your cupboard that has what we call the junk drawer, that has all kinds of like rubber bands and broken things? And do you have anything like that? You don't know. Oh my goodness. We have one. Every house we've ever lived in, we have one drawer in which we dump everything. Pencils and all kinds of things. And in fact, our kids used to put broken toys in there because they wanted to save them. But sometime you gotta take that box of junk and dump it out. Don't you? You might use it, that's true. But what happens if it's something you can't use? Do you still keep it? No. You know, in the lesson today, the Apostle Paul was talking about the things in our lives that we really don't need. We don't need sin. We don't need to do bad things. And he said, get rid of all those bad things. You think that would be like having a junk drawer empty? Might be. You know, maybe you ought to go home and see if you've got a junk drawer. You could make one. I'll bet you could. Well, why don't you take?
Because I have an empty drawer.
You have an empty drawer? How could that be? I never have empty drawers. But I've always got one that's got all that stuff I didn't know what to do with. And I just put it in there. But someday I have to clean it out. And that's what Paul tells us to do with our lives. When there's stuff in our lives that isn't good. You ever have bad habits? Do you once in a while have bad habits? Yeah, sometimes we have to let go of those too, right? Absolutely. Let's say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to empty our drawers of all the stuff that is not needed and empty our lives of the things that we don't need to do either. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to see your junk drawer someday. Well, the question is, what's it all about? Have you ever thought about what you want to do or what you want to be when you grow up? Now, some of you may think, well, that's a good question for the kids. But no, I think the oldest person in our congregation needs to ask that question.
I'm still looking.
You're still looking. Good, good. Well, the church needs to ask the question too. What do we want to be when we grow up? Now, some people say, well, you're 100 years old. You should have grown up by now. No, most people don't grow up by 100. It takes longer. And we've got to figure out what we want to be at all times. We look into the future and, you know, compared to the churches that we visited in Europe, 100 years is just a drop in the bucket. Many of them are over 1,000 years old,
You know, they counted in hundreds of years, not just 100. So we can look into the future and try to see what it's like. And sometimes we get things in our lives that put us off kilter. Many years ago, a rabbi had a man come to him in Budapest and say, "My life is absolutely unbearable. There are 9 of us living in a one-room apartment, and it's just intolerable. People hardly have any place to lay down and stretch out. We're so crowded in there." And he said, "Rabbi, what do I do?" The rabbi said, "Well, let me think a minute." He said, "Do you have a goat?" And he said, "Well, yes, we have a goat in our shed." He said, "This week I want you to bring that goat into your apartment and keep it there for the whole week." Well, he didn't thought that was the craziest thing he'd heard of, but he was going to go along with the rabbi. The next week he came back. And the rabbi said, "Well, how was life for you?" He said, "It was absolutely horrible. 9 people and a goat in one room. It was stinky. It was horrible. There was no room for anything." Well, the rabbi said, "This week I want you to go home, take it back out to the shed, and then come back in a week." He came back in a week, and the rabbi said, "Well, how is life for you now?" He said, "It's absolutely wonderful. Only 9 people in one room and no goat." You see, it has to do with the perspective, how we see things. Harold Kushner wrote a book, "When Everything You've Ever Wanted Isn't What You Wanted." And in that book he says that most people, are not afraid to die. What they're afraid of is never having lived. Now think about that. Dying is easy. But have you really lived? As we look at what we want to be when we get older, when we grow up, we need to ask ourselves, are we really living? Do we really know what we want? You see, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he calls himself the teacher. Others have referred to him as the preacher. And I usually refer to the writer of Ecclesiastes as the gloomy Gus. I mean, you look at what he's writing. He starts right out. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's chasing after the wind." And then you read on and you realize there is nothing good in this universe. I mean, everything is bad. He starts out, he gives us 4 things that he looks at. And the first one is, he says, he looks at his wealth and he decides he's going to accumulate as much wealth and success as he possibly can. And then he says, "Yeah, but I'll do all that and I'll accomplish all of that and then I die. And my kids will go squander it." I mean, what good is that? That's vanity of vanities, of chasing after the wind. There's got to be more to life than just getting wealthy and successful. And then he says, "You know what I'll do? I'm not going to give it to my kids. I'm going to spend it. I'm going to use it up. I'm going to live high. Eat, drink, and be merry, because one day I'm going to die." And then he realizes, yeah, one day I'm going to die, and all that I've accomplished is wasted. What a waste of all of that. There's got to be more to life than this chasing after the wind. And the third thing he says is, "You know what? I'll bet if I study really hard, and I gain lots of knowledge and lots of wisdom, I will achieve what I want." And so he begins to do that. But in the end, he says, you know, when I die, where's that wisdom? Where's that knowledge going to be? It's all going to be lost. Again, vanity of vanities, a chasing after the wind. There's nothing there. He has a fourth one. You know what? I'm going to become religious. Oh, yeah. I'll go to church. Actually, go to synagogue. I'll pray every day, several times a day. I'll read all the scriptures. I'll study and I'll do everything the church asked me to do. I'll be on every committee. I'll be on the church council. I'll play in the bell choir. I'll do just absolutely everything. But in the end, he says, what's that going to get me? Because one day I'm going to die. It's all a chasing after the wind. There's got to be more to life than that. In fact, that's the conclusion Martin Luther came to. You know, he did absolutely, if you read his life, it's almost pathetic how much energy and effort he put into becoming perfect so that he could get into heaven. And in the end, he had to admit it didn't amount to anything because he was saved by grace through faith, not through what he did. Carl Jung, the great psychoanalyst, once wrote that one-third of his patients, a full one-third, had no identifiable clinical neurosis. In other words, a third of his patients were perfectly healthy mentally. There was no real problem with them. But he said that third, which accounted for a good sizable number, were missing something in their life. And what they were missing was spirituality. A spiritual connection with God. They could do all of the religious stuff and feel empty. They could do everything that society asks them to do. But in the end, he too would have said, it's just a chasing after the wind. What they really were hungering for, the same thing Luther was hungering for, was a personal relationship with God. Knowing that God was in him and with him. Sue was telling me about a book that she read this week about some Amish women who were discussing. And I'm glad she's not here because I'll probably mess the story up. But anyway, the two women were talking about going to worship. And the younger one said to the older one, do you really like going to worship? And she said, oh, yes. I love going to worship. And it was at that point that she realized, what was it about worship that she loved? How many of our members would say, I love going to worship? I would go to worship over anything. What are we missing? Because sometimes we don't go to worship, we go to church. Instead of being the church, we go to church. We go through the ritual. If the preacher isn't a good preacher, if the reader doesn't read correctly, if the organist plays a sour note, never happened with Julie, but you know what I'm saying. We can find all kinds of excuses, all kinds of things that don't fit. But if that's all we go to worship for, we're chasing after wind too. What all of these people are pointing to, and Paul points to it even more strongly when he tells the Colossians,
don't seek the things that are on earth, but seek the things that are above. Seek the one who can live in you. That's what really counts. And if all of us were seeking to be closer to the Lord our God, worship would become truly exciting. Despite the fact that we can't sing all the hymns, despite the fact that the liturgy isn't always what we like, that's not why we're here. We're here because of the one who says to us, "You are truly forgiven. You are so well loved that I die for you. You are so well loved that I would give my body and blood for you." Oh yeah, and that's why Jesus, when he is confronted by this man who wants his brother to divide the inheritance with him, says, well, he tells him the parable, of course, of the man who has a fantastically good crop and decides to tear down his barns and build bigger ones. But he says, yeah, but in the end, whose is it going to be? Again, a chasing after the wind. But seek the things that are above rather than the things that are on earth. Remember reading about a wealthy man who was so busy gathering his wealth that he really didn't pay much attention to his family. In fact, his wife and children hardly knew he existed. And when he died, this was in the days when they laid the body out in the parlor. His family came and showed their respect, but that was about it. And when they read the will, the man wrote in his will, I didn't know my family that well, didn't really care about them. So I sold everything, and I converted it to gold. Stocks, bonds, bank accounts, everything, all my property except the house, it's all converted into gold. I hid it in the attic so that when I go to heaven, I can pass through the attic and take it with me. Now, needless to say, the family all raced up to the attic after the will was read. And there was this beautiful chest of gold. And his wife said, you know, maybe he should have put it in the basement instead. Well, the question again is, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? What do you want to be when it's all over? Do you want to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, or still seeking after all the goods of this world? May we as individuals and we as the church be constantly seeking ways so that we too can love to worship the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, regardless. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Church, those in need, and all of your creation. Are there people or concerns that you'd like to add to the prayers today?
I think we should pray for the people in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas.
Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas. Right.
Your people struggle with the weariness and toil of living in a broken world. Work through your church to restore justice and mercy, and send rest and comfort to all who are bowed down. Trusting in God, our abundant provider, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your creation longs for generous care. Give growth to the fields, strength to farmers, ranchers, and laborers who toil in summer's heat, and wisdom to us to respect Earth's bounty. Trusting in God, our loving Creator, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your world reflects your image in billions of unique ways. Touch every life, low and high, rich and poor, and sway every heart toward your merciful will. Trusting in God, our Sovereign, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your people in this congregation praise you and pray for your almighty help. Comfort those who suffer from anxiety, depression, or stress. Provide for those in need, trusting in God, our purpose and goal. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your communities near and far lack basic resources. Supply work, food, and health care for all who are in need. Bring relief to those who are overworked. Trusting in God, our help, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Your saints who have died now rest in your merciful care. Comfort us in faith and love us as we continue our labor on earth. Trusting in God who lives, who gives life to the dead, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Our gracious God, we give you thanks for your healing hand. We ask it for those in Dayton and El Paso who are suffering and terrorized by the kind of violence that was provoked there. We ask your blessing and your healing upon them. Guide and direct those who are helping. We pray in Jesus' name. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
All these things and more we ask in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
To give up.
our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God, power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age.
Lamb of God, you take away the
given to you, the assurance given to you, the blood Christ shed for you.
Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
In the word 818.
Thank you.